going on, everybody? Welcome in to the Creed of Crypto podcast. I am Brofoy Crypto, and I have here with me, as always, my friend and co-host, Crypto Ewok. We have got quite the show for you tonight. We're going to talk highest of stakes. Obviously, the Hex and Richard Hart documentary has debuted across the country in many, many U.S. markets, so we have a lot to talk about in that regard. We're going to talk, of course, continued SEC suing Richard Hart news. The SEC also, we just found out another piece of news because they just can't lose. They just have to keep digging that hand up out from under the grave. So we're going to get to what that's all about in a moment. We have the PayPal news with PayPal launching its own stablecoin. We'll talk about that for probably about 3 minutes. And a lot of stuff to get to, a lot of different angles about the highest of stakes documentary, and not necessarily just like what are our thoughts on it or anything, or just what did you think of it? A lot of reacting to reactions. And then also the Coast on-ramp, the first on-ramp onto Pulse Chain to be able to pay via credit card, eventually debit card, ACH as well, all kinds of stuff. So we got a great show for you tonight. If you're just getting in here, hit the like. We very much appreciate it. Ewok, how are you feeling this evening?
Feeling good. Had a good weekend, went to see the movie. We'll talk about that here in a little bit. But yeah, I'm feeling pretty good. Have a little abscessed tooth going on. So if you hear a little lisp, that's what's going on.
Are you sure that's all it is?
Yeah.
I've known you to have a lisp for, quite some time.
No.
It's just the tooth? Okay.
Just all the right. tooth.
Okay.
We're good. We're ready to rock and roll. It's going to be a good show.
Ready to rock, and real quick, we'll just kind of touch base with where we are at. And of course, everybody get active in the chat tonight. I want to hear everybody's thoughts, because kind of crowdsourcing a lot of this information is what's really fun to talk about. I was watching Corey Geary and Money Talk with Dane a lot this week. I watched last night, Matty Allen and the crew was fantastic, all four of those guys. Briz, some of his thoughts on the film compared to other people was really interesting. It's really interesting to gather everybody's thoughts on everything that's happening right now, because there's just so much going on. And obviously the thumbnail, we're going to talk about these huge crypto influencers talking about Hex, whether it's extremely negatively, like George from Cryptos R Us, who swears that Richard Hart is evil and it's a scam, even though he has no idea what he's talking about, or some of the other folks like BitBoy, regardless of what you think, and I'm talking a little bit more positive about the developments here so far. So we're going to get into that, and what does that mean for the Hex and a Pulse Chain prices as we get into this bull market? It's an interesting question. So BTC and ETH, the market has seen some bullish action in the last couple of days. I think BTC barely touched over 30K for a little bit. ETH is around 1850. Looking at the Pulse prices, haven't been extremely tied to this move over the last day or two anyway. But obviously with the SEC news, Pulse still down about 45% off the SAC rate. Pulse X is down about 83% from the SAC rate. And then we have a combined Hex price of about 1.5 pennies between Pulse Chain and Ethereum right now. So what do you make about, I mean, we're kind of seeing some consolidation with the Pulse Chain ecosystem here, and really everything. I mean, with a greater crypto market, I mean, Bitcoin as well has kind of just been hovering in a certain range for so long now, with a low level of volume, that a lot of traders, swing traders, just people that are looking at the market, are really suspecting some kind of violent move in one direction here soon. Will it be up? Will it be down? That's obviously the big question. But what do you make of the traditional crypto market? And then we'll talk about the Pulse Chain ecosystem here as well, Ewok.
Yeah, I can totally see that violent move down. Traditionally, it usually does that right before, we get a little closer to the halving. It usually does take a dip down before it starts to get bullish before the halving. And that's in not till what, April. So, we are due. We've got several months before that, but everything I'm seeing, everything I'm seeing kind of says that. So does it do the opposite again? Very rarely does it work like everybody's predicting, unfortunately. So it's going to be one of those, just have to wait and see what other black swan events come out before then. I'm sure there'll be something, maybe another SEC case. They're going after everybody, so right. who knows what they say or do next. I can see another dip, down. I think some of our prices, because Pulse is kind of now shied away from the rest of the markets, I think we could be standing on our own. I hope we pull away. I hope we are, you know, eventually decorrelated enough that we don't see a tie to it. But, you know, that mentality, again, of the whole market structure, you know, there isn't much liquidity tied to a lot of other things. So it could move on its own very easily.
Yeah, it definitely could. We, like I said, we've been consolidating as far as the Pulse Chain ecosystem kind of in this same range since the news. Now, I'm trying to remember exactly what it was. So last Monday, it seems it's crazy because it seems like an eternity at this point. But it was only 9 days ago that this news actually came down, Monday morning on the whatever that was. Am I right about that? Yeah, July 31st. And then I think the low was really, I think, the next evening, I want to say, because I specifically remember buying Pulse at 4 zeros and a 3-something. So, I mean, we've been up at least halfway to sack rate anyway, like we are right now since then. So that was really the low. And again, I think that was Tuesday night last week. So we have come up from there and seen a bit of a recovery. And, you know, a lot of people were talking about like another shoe to drop potentially with that lawsuit and how some of it didn't make sense because some of the claims are things that the SEC themselves don't really have much jurisdiction over. Well, this is a bigger question probably for later, but I mean, do you think as far as the lawsuit as it's written, we're almost a week and a half out from it here. Do you think the SEC tries to allege anything else at this point, or do you think that's basically just what we've got with what they've said so far?
Well, usually I think they throw in as much as they can to see what sticks. You know, we kind of went over it last week, and we determined that it looks like it's written by a college intern that really didn't have many facts. So I don't know that they'll add on to it. I think they've already put enough in there of stuff that was just not factual in the first place. We'll be lucky to see any of it stick, in my opinion. And, you know, Cabana said it here too. We're seeing a lot of people say, just settle it, be done with it so we can move on. But I think the right move is to fight it. And just because of the wording, just because of the way that we see that it's written, and, you know, we know what HEX is. We know it's decentralized. It was launched as a finished product, just so many things on top of each other that say we should really fight this. Richard is the man to do it. Educate them in the space. Hopefully, you know, the court themselves too. So,
right. Yeah.
You know, I don't think there's much added to it. They've added enough already that probably won't stick. Hopefully we embarrass them or Richard embarrasses them, you know?
Yeah. So. Yeah, and I'm with you. Shout out to Cabana because some of the he had a couple of streams, or at least was on a couple of streams over this last week. I checked out; they were awesome. But I think he's 100% right. Yeah, the people that just want the price to go up obviously want him to settle, and that's one of those things where it's like, what level of admission of guilt, or what would the, you know, there's all these details and lawyers would have to get talking and all this, but like, I wonder if there's a point where Richard would be comfortable admitting, if you will, some sort of guilt, even though, like, clearly what they're alleging he did with sacrifice funds, we've already said it. Not only is it untrue and very hard to prove, even if you could, but there's actually proof that he did not do that because it's on chain. That's kind of the insane thing about that second allegation. But I just wonder, like, what the point would be where he would just say, you know what? This is a slap on the wrist. These guys just want paid. We all know it's about money. We know 100% it's about money. These are people that don't have the talent, the skill, the knowledge that Richard and a lot of other of these crypto creators have, and they just want their piece of the pie. That's really what it is at the end of the day. So do you think there's a point where he just says, fuck it, and pays them and moves on? Or, you know, I know, you know, he wants to win, and you know that he wants bragging rights, and you know that he wants to have his day in court possibly too, so to speak. Is there a point you think he would just pay that fee for, you know, whatever reason?
I don't think so. I think Richard likes to win. He is a serial winner. He mentions it many times in the film. He makes sure people know that he's not a lucky guy. He's been winning for a long time. I think also the pride that goes with it, and he's a cheapskate. He admits that himself. He's cheap.
Yeah.
He doesn't like to spend money if he doesn't have to do it. I really don't think he just says screw it and let's settle. Unless he sees it going the wrong way, which I don't see it. We clearly fail all four legs of the Howie test. I don't see it. Unless he just doesn't want to take the time to do it or show up, that mm-hmm. could be another issue too. I don't know if he'll have to be in person. I would imagine so. But I think everything is on the side of Hex, and he's playing three steps ahead, just like he always does. I don't see him doing it. I don't see him paying or settling.
I don't see him doing that either. But I mean, like, again, there's so many different ways and nuance to settling, quote unquote, something like that, that, his attorneys or something could work up something specific. Who knows? I'm not saying that he's going to do it, or, it's a shakedown. I mean, bottom line, like we said, that's what it is. So we'll see which way he goes. I don't think the people that are worried about some kind of like multi-year, decade long, I mean, that's clearly out of the realm of possibility, I think, but some huge long fight that, could weigh down the ecosystem forever. And I even wonder, the longer the fight goes on, how much the ecosystem would be weighed down. We're going to get to Ripple and XRP here in a moment, because there is some developing news with the SEC as far as that goes. But there's been, obviously, us included, a lot of comparisons between what's happening with Richard and what happened with Ripple, and the difference in the price performance too, because Ripple, that was already its, at least, I believe, second cycle. So it did not get back and touch all-time highs ever again. But that's also how many tokens do? You can't say that about a lot of tokens. So, I mean, not only that, but, the weighing down of the SEC thing, the fact that Ripple's just not really that fantastic of a product or anything like that compared to Pulse Chain and a lot of this stuff. So
a big thing with that, too, is they got delisted from everywhere. Mm-hmm. Ripple was taken off of all major exchanges. We don't have that problem because we weren't there in the first place. So, if anything, it's taught people how to use DeFi correctly. We don't have the problem of the delisting. It's not going to really hurt. If anything, it helps educate some people on how to do it the right way. So, we don't have that issue of the whole, the delisting and the, I don't know that they ever got deranked.
I don't
on like
so.
on one of the ranking sites or anything like that, but again, it can't hurt us because we aren't listed anywhere to begin with, so right. I believe I think that's a big advantage for us.
I think so too, and also just as far as the cycles go, Pulse Chain, Pulse X, this is their first cycle. I mean, the tokens have been out for a couple of months at this point. So I'm not so worried about the suppression of the price or anything like that. I mean, this community, I think, is stronger and more fervent than the XRP or Ripple community or anything like that. It's just they are different in those ways. I guess what I will say, since we're talking about Ripple for a moment, is there was news just 2 hours ago that the SEC is appealing the judge's ruling of XRP not being a security. Where do you think this goes, Ewok? I guess that by about a week from now or so, they have to meet in some fashion to decide if they're going to move forward with this appeal. I didn't read too far into it. I don't think there's too much news yet. Nobody from Ripple had commented, but what do you think? I mean, like, this is just these guys, everybody is singling in on Hex and everything right now. This is not unique to Hex. I mean, clearly the Ripple thing's already been going on for a number of years, and they basically just, the SEC did, went back in June, I think it was, just went down a list of coin market crap or whatever and named like the top 10 tokens by market cap, and basically were like, yeah, we think these are all securities too.
Agree. I think they're gonna come after all of them. I really do, especially with the appeal. I didn't get a chance to read it either. I didn't find out about it until you and I jumped on in the green room right before we started. So I haven't had a chance to read the appeal, the paperwork, or anything like that. I know, who was it? Altcoin Daily posted that, says that's where I saw it quickly right before we started. So I don't know. I don't know that anything will come of it. I'm hoping that the judges get tired of looking at this stuff and be like, we just made a decision. What, that's what we're going to stick with, I hope. And yeah. You still have your picture of your
still got Jim Leahy up there,
Mr. Leahy.
Camera disconnected for some reason.
But yeah, I don't see much coming from it. You know, the price has already been hurt a little bit, so I don't see them suffering in that way. I would hate to see them miss another cycle because of this. And I don't know who said it earlier. I guess, you know, it's not going to take weeks. You know, this isn't something that will happen overnight. So, you know, that could be detrimental, you know, just the hanging over us. But I think the long run says that it advances us that much further. So I'm willing to, you know, I'm not willing. I don't want to skip a cycle at all. But if it means clarity afterwards, for people that just say, listen, it's already been determined. We know we're not a security. I think that could be more beneficial than hitting a cycle.
So. I just really wonder how much people are going to care about that when the bull market is at fever pitch. You know what I mean? At some point, these lawsuits and things like that, I mean, the SEC just throws out frivolous lawsuit after frivolous lawsuit. And if all of these things, if everything's moving up in price, and we've already got this built-in community, there's this documentary, which we're going to get to again in a minute. I just don't know if people are going to care that there's ongoing court proceedings. You know what I mean? I don't know if they even will know what it means. And I'm talking about more new. I'm not talking about us and everybody watching now. I'm talking about, you know, more retail coming back next year, maybe in 2025. I just don't know how much those people are going to really be paying attention to that. I mean, and I know I always do this, and I know they are slightly different things, but look at the Donald Trump phenomenon right now. I mean, every single day, it's like they may levy up to 15 new indictments again. It's like, who gives a shit, dude? Nobody cares about this. Nobody believes that any of this stuff really happened. Nobody even really cares if it did, really. Right. I mean, we know they're all criminals. Nobody cares. You know, move
well, on. And the thing is, the more cases that come out, if they do start going after all of them, I think it puts less emphasis on all of them in general.
Right.
You know? It's just you get a lawsuit. Yeah, everybody gets a lawsuit.
Yeah.
So it's not very meaningful. And that could actually benefit everybody because, like, you're right. No one cares anymore at this point. They're just going after whoever they can to see what they can win to extort money. It's all money grab. You know, they obviously are not, we said this last week, you know, they're not looking out for you, the investor. They're looking out for the banks. They're looking out for their, you know, big name cronies that are losing money because of crypto.
And that's totally true. I mean, like, so far it's been mainly Ripple and now Richard Hart, Hex that have been under fire here. But yeah, what happens when there are lawsuits levied against Polygon, Matic, Solana, Cardano? I mean, at that point it would be like, okay, we're investing in this stuff, we don't really care what you guys have to say. So so we'll obviously continually be talking about this and see, you know, what happens with the SEC, but pretty much everybody dislikes Gary Gensler. And, you know, there's actual legislation being introduced to remove him and totally reform the SEC. So we'll see where all that goes. Let's touch on the PayPal thing just real quick. So in case you did miss it, PayPal basically has their own PayPal USD stablecoin now coming. Stablecoins are all the rage. That's going to be the big thing this cycle with a lot of these kind of like legacy entities. But it's built on Ethereum. USD stablecoin has an asset protection rule. This is really the bad part about this thing, which can actually wipe your balance in two transactions. So they basically can first freeze your balance and then just wipe it, essentially. Obviously, there's full KYC, censorship capabilities, all that stuff. What do you make of this? Because, you know, I don't think people are wrong in saying that the introduction of this for a big company like PayPal that many, many people use and are familiar with, are angling this as a bullish thing for the crypto industry as a whole over the coming years, that people are getting familiarized with a digital currency or a digital dollar like that. What do you make of it, though? I mean, it's one of those things that maybe not PayPal specifically, but some of this was inevitable as crypto grows, you know?
Sure. And it's one of the bigger, more used platforms across the country, across the world, to have a digital currency like that. I kind of think the government is behind it. I think they understand the pushback from CBDC. And I think maybe masking it as something else, as the PayPal coin, just to get people using it, familiar how to use a wallet, familiar with, you know, these types of things, as an introduction. But clearly, you know, with those two things that you said, you know, they freeze your account and then they just wipe your balance. It can happen in two transactions.
Yeah.
What the hell is that? You know, I mean, so if you're suspected of being a scammer or whatever, I mean, I understand on eBay platform, they have problems like that where they do have to protect people buying stuff from people that are abusing it, you know, listing things that aren't real, collecting the money and then never sending stuff. So I do get it, but it's scary. It's a scary introduction to the CBDCs, and we'll have to see how it goes, if there's any kind of approval or, you know, welcoming of it. I don't think you still have to use it. I think, you know, there's other payment mm-hmm. methods available. We'll, you know, keep an eye on the adoption curve, see how that goes, to kind of see what could be coming along the way with the CBDCs.
Yeah. Yeah. It's one of those things. It's going to happen. I mean, we're going to see more and more of this pop up over this cycle. You're going to see more headlines about it, I think, as we head into 2024. So, yeah, is what it is. Not anything we're going to use, but, you know, for legacy finance people, I'm sure they will. You want to point out Furu's comment there, Furu in the chat.
Well, every stablecoin does have admin keys. You know, we all know that, what is it? USDC has a method of invalidating tokens, things like that. So, you know, they do. I don't know if they can just take your balance and freeze it, probably. So, yeah, I mean, to his point, I think they all have that in one way or another. I think DAI is one of the ones that are backed by more of a group of coins, a little bit safer. Mm-hmm. You know, yes, there's USDC, Tether, some other things that are involved with DAI, but I don't know that they can just invalidate your wallet. So, but to this point, yeah, it's true.
Yeah. Yeah, it is true. So we'll keep an eye on that. We'll see where it goes. You know, not anything we're overly interested in, but, you know, I guess overall bullish for this coming cycle to a degree. If you guys are here and enjoying the stream so far, hit the like. We very much appreciate it. We're going to get into the movie now. I will straight up say it. I have not actually seen the full film yet. Obviously, I've seen many, many clips, probably up to at least 20 minutes or so of the film. Obviously, I saw Richard's little pre-recorded thing that he made specifically for the premiere. But Ewok did. He did get to go see the film. I've obviously kind of played Monday morning quarterback, just checking out other people's opinions of it and everything. But let's just get your raw reaction, Ewok. You've had good 5 days or so to think about it at this point. Yeah, let's just hear. What was your overall thoughts of the film?
The first thing I thought was I didn't see a lot of characters that I thought we were originally going to see. You know, in the first couple trailers, there was people like Nerd Girl and Crypty Girl and some of the other, you know, ladies of Hex. Really, none of those.
You just wanted to see the ladies.
Hey, the ladies look good on the big screen. So
yeah, they do.
But they weren't in the movie. I felt like it kind of became the RG3 show. I feel like he had as much time as Richard. Not that I don't like RG3, and you know, he does have a good story. He's a blue collar guy, worked his ass off, made something of himself, and then, you know, ended up bringing Mikey, his buddy, into the fold, who invested, you know, a good bit of money at the top, 41 cents or something like that. So then it goes into the story of him and his wife was totally against it as much. I should have stated before I started this that if you don't want any spoilers, you should probably not watch, but
yeah, that should be self-evident. Yeah.
But yeah, so it kind of became that. And then Richard in the background with the two main characters that were the FUD people, you know, the scam searcher and the guy from the university. Who I like both of those guys. They've made a nice little appearance on Twitter. They're quite personable. They're still learning, actively engaging with our community. It's pretty cool to see that. But overall, the movie for me, I feel like the longer you've been in Hex, the less you got out of the movie. It wasn't really meant for us. It wasn't meant for the people that are already pro Hex, that are already in, you know, eyes up to our eyes in it and know pretty much everything about it. So it was designed for the no coiners. And I've heard a lot of people that say, you know, they were on the fence before, that's have seen it. Now they're really looking into it and doing their homework, which is good. You know, it wasn't designed for us at all. The storyboard was good. It flowed well. The music, you know, the score was amazing. It just added that extra level to it. So it was very well done. Very well done. But for me personally, you know, it wasn't meant for me. It wasn't meant for the true Hexicans that are, you know, like I said, already way invested. Not meant for us. It's meant for the people that just aren't sure. And it really does make you want to go out and do research. I really think that the people that weren't sure before that went in to see it will come out, do their work, do their research, and potentially join the community. So that's my overall take anyway. And yeah, it was, like I said, very well done. Very well done.
I think that that is what a lot of people have said. And I think that that is a great thing. You know, like, yeah, I think that anybody that maybe is entrenched in the community and has been involved in this ecosystem for a long time going, thinking that they were going to get a movie that was designed for them or whatever, well, it probably wouldn't be an entertaining movie at that point. You know what I mean? Because we would all choose to just watch, like I was just sitting here watching Crispy Man stream on his own earlier about ETH gas fees. You know what I mean? That's what we think is entertaining. So that's not going to sell out movie theaters or anything. But I want to say, well, no offense to you, Crispy Man, but I want to say real quick to echo what you just said, though, Ewok. So Pulse Orca, who I've seen some of his tweets before, shared the same sentiment you did. I've seen this from a few people. He said, I took a crypto curious friend who knows nothing about Hex or RH to the documentary with me. He has a wife, three young children, and a corporate job that he hates. I would like to see him win in the next bull cycle. Asked him to send me his thoughts about the film. He said the documentary was intriguing and left me with mixed emotions on if I would invest in Hex. The overall crypto world seems like a gamble, but when Richard compared cryptocurrency investing to a 401k, it made sense. When the guy who runs the crypto ranking site, Nomics, that would be, reluctantly stated that Hex was not a scam and that he invested in it, gave me a sense of relief, only to turn around and question the back-end Hex accounts. In the near future, I will invest in Hex, he says. Yet this documentary did not give me the enthusiasm to go all in, but I'm intrigued enough to not want to miss out. Which I think is, I was going to say that makes a lot of sense. Yeah. He said, P.S. Richard Hart is a brilliant man, but he's not God. Upon my investment, I will not identify as a Hexican. I totally understand that point of view, too. And I'm always reluctant to ever do that myself. I mean, you know, somebody I was watching in the last couple of days, probably Matty Allen and all those guys last night, the cult aspect of it, you know, I don't even care if that's it's really a positive thing if you want to find out what bandwagon to get on in crypto, quite frankly. But you don't have to be a quote-unquote Hexican. You know, you don't have to act in the same ways that everybody else does and stuff. And I know there are things that people are going to think are cringy, but that's also not everybody in the space. I mean, there are plenty of people in this space. The number one person that always comes to my mind is Gary Funding Jim, that are, you know, professional long-term finance people that have been around the block. And I think as this ecosystem develops with like an L1 and a DEX and all this stuff now this film's out and all these big influencers talking about Hex, I think you'll see the diversity in that direction of this ecosystem. What do you think about that?
Well, so another thing that pops up is the cult mentality, and that is also talked about quite a bit in the, you know, in the film. And when people say I don't want to be associated or you know, referred to as a Hexican, I think that's why they're afraid they don't want to become part of the cult, you know. So, you know, there's also that, and I think the dude from Namis Clay, also said, to answer one of his questions, the final question, you know, they asked him a couple questions, kind of like, you know, speed round questions. You know, is Hex a scam? No. Is Richard a scammer? And he said no. Is Hex a cult? Yes. That was his answer. Yes. Right. So I think that's part of the reason why people have that mentality toward it. You know, they just don't want to be affiliated with a cult or whatever it may be. And, you know, while some of the things that happen in this community are cult-like, you know, I look at it as more of a we're so powerful about what we have. You know, people are just fanatics, and there are so many intelligent people in this community that make it, you know, provable. I guess it's, you know, I'm trying to find the words to say how I want to say it, but you know, it's provable that what we're doing here is not a scam. I mean, clearly there, everything's done. It's a finished product. There is no scam. We do have to trust Richard, right? We do have to trust or the OA, I should say. But the OA was designed to be able to fluctuate the APY. That's why it's there, for no other reason. So, you know, that is the trust part of this trustless system, if you want to say it that way. But yeah, there's just, like I said, the you know, the community comes off as cultish. But, you know, we're all in this pretty deep. So, you know, they stand by their convicted, you know, on the products that we have, and rightfully so.
Well, to defend the cultish behavior a little bit, and again, I'm not even saying it's a bad thing or anything like that. But I think what some people that maybe outsiders are realizing, because you've taken this journey, Ewok, I've taken this journey, and I imagine everybody that's watching us right now have taken this journey. If you've been in crypto, I mean, everybody's gotten wrecked in some form. I mean, everybody for some period of time, so, you know, whether it is some kind of time capitulation, price capitulation, getting in something that actually was a scam, the previous cycle, like 2017, which many people did, you know, a lot more than are now. You have seen the real dark side of crypto. So when you do see a guy like Richard Hart come along that speaks to all the truths of what cryptocurrency is actually all about and creates something like Hex, and then now Pulse Chain, PulseX, and everything else, and then provides all this free information about the subject over and over and over again, that's kind of how you get people addicted to a guy like that. Because, you know, a lot of these people that are critical of it are number one, are already just like Bitcoin maxis, or they're new to crypto. So right. To them, everything seems like a scam. And, oh, he's got to be King Scammer because of the Louis Vuitton and the clown dressing and all that stuff. But that's what I think it is. Everybody has gotten wrecked by actual scams in past cycles. So to them, you know, I mean, this whole industry is already odd. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Just like people like John McAfee, you know, like pioneers like that of the past and things. There's personalities that are very eccentric in this space. That's just the way. Like, look at Vitalik Buterin. That's a creator of Ethereum. That's, but you know, borderline a you know, there might as well be an Ethereum ETF. There probably will be the next cycle. So, I'm just saying that I think the reason you see that reaction to Richard is because of how badly people have been down in the past, and then you see somebody come along like that. So that's why we should defend that.
Yeah, and there's a lot of the, like I said, the Bitcoin maxis out there, the people that don't want to give it a chance. They just parrot what they've heard somebody else say. And, you know, some of these big influencers that were even on the thumbnail tonight, they still say it.
Right.
As far as I'm concerned, you know, even people talking badly about it is still good advertisement, especially with the things that we've got going on now. And another reason why I want Richard to fight the SEC case, because, you know, if we can put that behind us, that eliminates 95% of the problems. And then again, we're just back to that, having to trust Richard, having to trust the OA, and that's it, you know?
Yeah, I agree 100%. A second part to that question about like some of the people that were turned off. And even again, I thought the best point of that post by Pulse Orca was that his friend, said that, yeah, he doesn't want to go all in. He shouldn't necessarily want to go all in. If you go to a film like that and have one reference point of a friend, and then you decide I'm going to put my entire net worth into this, you know, that's kind of weird. You know,
well, what I mean? You're asking for trouble, right?
Yeah. I mean, I totally understand that. I like the way he put it. And that's the kind of good measured investor that you want, really. Yeah. But about the Axis Alive said this the other day. And I think Corey Geary's chat. He said it is a wake up call for some of us maybe to find out how to change the messaging for some of the people that do get turned off by some of the more. The subset of Hex investors that may have been shown in the film that seem like dumb lottery ticket winners and stuff like that. I do think it would be better for some of us, like we do every week when we do this show, and like Johnny, Furu, some of the guys in the chat, that not to say you guys are two peas in a pod or anything like that, but you know, change the messaging a little bit. I don't want to say like to a more professional style. I don't really know how to say it, but just change the messaging from this whack job cheerleader mentality to somebody that's a little bit more thoughtful. And I guess like for me, it's weird to say because I'm already seeing that. I think people just aren't looking. I mean, like all of the prominent channels, most of them, I should say, are that, I think. I don't think they are strange. Maybe it's more so like the Twitter behavior or maybe like flexes during the bull market. But I mainly do see people that have their heads on straight. But I think we should be more conscious about our messaging, more so in these stupid little Twitter battles that happen.
Sure. You know? Well, Twitter is a toxic playground. So you have to keep that in mind. I don't think people act like that. In fact, I see things on Twitter. And then when I see Hexicans together, the people that are beefing on Twitter are laughing and joking and shaking hands. So it is a very toxic thing to get yourself sucked into. I don't like it. You almost have to walk away from it or not be active every once in a while for your own sanity. But I will say that I know one of the latest messages is that, guys, we have to be more on the same page. We have to be more welcoming of some of these other communities. We have to, you know, embrace it. If we want Pulse Chain to survive and do well, we're going to have to be more accepting of some of these new developers. We're going to have to understand that there are going to be people building. There are going to be people building scams. You don't have to participate, right, but you also don't have to shit on them either. So, I mean, I think there's a fine line there where you do that. And, you know, again, you don't have to speak badly about them, but you don't have to mention it either. It's going to happen. We have to welcome the people to build, though. Just like any blockchain, Ethereum got very successful. and how many of those are rug pulls or how many things were scams? It's part of the growth of the network that you got to take the good with the bad. And we hope that when people come and maybe they do get wrecked on something and learn a lesson like we did in 2017, that they will find Hex, they will find Pulse Chain, they'll find PulseX, they'll find the community and the strength there. So, you know, I think I'm seeing a lot more of that type of messaging, which is good. We really need that in order to grow. So,
I think so too. Before we get into the next thing, because I want to continue on this Twitter point, because we were going to talk about Lamont Black, who is one of the protagonists in the film's professor from DePaul, actually. So we're going to get to that in a moment. If you guys are here and enjoying the stream, smash the like for us. We very much appreciate it. We do this every single Wednesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. But Lamont Black has been awesome on Twitter. And admittedly, I haven't seen the film, so I didn't see everything that he said and everything that he did in the film. But you can help us with that a little bit, Ewok. But I have loved what we've been seeing from him this last week on Twitter. He is actively engaging big time with a lot of the Hex community. And Matty Allen was pointing out last night, he's kind of using the very professorial Socratic method, just kind of asking further questions to create further questions and ultimately answers from Hex users and stuff like that. And I think it's, you know, it's clearly kind of a fact-finding mission of his own too. Sure. I mean, I think he's learning things too, but he's also asking questions of people in the community to learn it. And he's engaging everybody. I think he's doing some awesome stuff. And tomorrow, I'm super excited about this. I believe it's tomorrow. Crypto Heartbeat, his channel, is going to interview him.
Yeah,
so
I did see that.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to that. So what do you make of his role in the film, as well as, and I'm forgetting her name, but his co-professor from DePaul. What did you make of their roles in the film, and what do you think about what Lamont is doing on Twitter right now?
Well, I think they were necessary. I think they were the take a step back, let's question it, let's look at this from all angles, try to ask the right questions. And he, like I said, it's genuine because he's still doing it. He's still asking questions. And everything that I've seen from the community has been quite respectable when he asks the questions. I think people know that he's not trolling. And I think a lot of the nasty responses that you end up seeing on Twitter are people who are trolling, engagement farming, whatever it may be. But the role of those two, I think her name was Kelly. The role was quite important, and there was a scene there where Lamont and Kelly sit down with Richard, and you know, they're talking about different questions, and that's where the whole thing comes up. And he's describing something. He's like, well, Richard says, well, it just sounds like you just described a 401k. Mm-hmm. And the look on his face was almost dumbfounded. Like, he was like, you could tell it took him back. Maybe that was acting, maybe not, but I think, you know, the reality of the situation was, you know, it does sound like your 401k, and it was a very needed part. It was a very needed part to balance things out. Like you said, it wasn't a puff piece at all. And the characters that those two played, I don't know that, like they said, I don't know that they were characters. I don't think there was a whole lot of acting going on in this at all. Truly honest questions they want to learn, and Lamont, like I said, is continuing to do that on Twitter, and it's been pretty cool to see him be active asking the right questions. You know, the one thing that he's still not too sure of, I think he's still stuck on this, what service does HEX provide? He just doesn't get it, that it's a coin that makes more of itself with the value proposition of time. And for some, I don't think they understand that that is a value. It is a value, and it is a service. Like I said, I enjoyed the two of them. They definitely balanced it out to where it did make people ask the right questions too. Not just, I'm going to log in and check out this, you know, this person's YouTube and see what they have to say about it. Unfortunately, you do get a lot of that. When you tell people to do their own research, they go watch somebody else. They don't do their research. Yeah. They do the opposite and go get the opinion of somebody else. Unfortunately, that's how it works. So I think they started to make people realize what the right questions are. What should you be looking into? How do you judge whether a coin is a scam or not? And it was good to that point where I think it gets people pointed in the right direction of how to actually do their own research. So needed.
I totally agree. I love where he's coming from. And again, you know, talking about like introducing different types of folks into the ecosystem with that messaging and stuff. Again, this is why I think that documentary, especially if and when it does get picked up by a streaming service, and as we get into the bull market, it's just going to have, you know, huge wave effects, you know, and a professor like himself, and then him being very visible and things like that, I think is just awesome. So I'm really happy to read his thoughts, and I'm really excited about that interview with Crypto Heartbeat tomorrow. The last thing on the film real quick, that Motley actually brought up the other day with Corey Geary as well, was the fact that we're hearing people like haters of Richard Hart, haters of HEX and all of us and all that stuff, are urging people to see the film to like make fun of us, basically.
Yeah.
Which, talk about like the effect that that could have as well, because really that's putting eyes on it and everything. You know, it's not like this film is just like, it's not a puff piece. It's also not a hit piece, I don't think.
Right.
Even though I know people have said that they felt like somewhat bearish coming out of it. I know Corey Geary said that. I know Briz have said it and stuff like that. But, you know, it is a nuanced film. So I don't think it's, you know, it, you can come and make fun of it, but when you hear some of the finer points of what Richard Hart has to say and some of these other folks, you could turn some people onto it. So yeah, what do you make of that dynamic too?
Well, it goes back to what one of the things that I said earlier. If you've been in Hex for a long time, you may not like it. You may feel kind of bearish coming out of there. Again, it wasn't meant for you, not at all. You know, it's meant for the people that are still asking questions. And I love the fact that some of these guys are saying, yeah, go watch this and make fun of it. Clearly, enough people did, because I think we ranked number 19 in the country last weekend for sales.
Yeah.
So a small documentary like that, that was only in a certain amount of, what, less than 50 cities, that's ranking 19 on the sales, that's pretty damn good. I would say a lot of eyes were on it. Now, a lot of those were Hexicans too, obviously, but I'm hoping that enough people dragged friends and family and things like that to see it as well. Hopefully, we'll see how long it continues before we get the streaming service release. I know they're now moving over to London, at least somewhere in Europe, a couple locations. So,
right,
yeah, I mean it's all bullish, and I do agree with Motley that it's a very good thing, just to get people pointed in that direction. The SEC adds to it, you know. Hey, go watch this. These guys are now being sued by the SEC, and they got a movie coming out. Ha ha ha! Right?
Is that right?
You know, there's more eyes. I don't think it's, I don't think it could have been planned any better. It just one coincidence after another. It's almost like it was planned.
Well, you know, we're going to get into to that point you said a moment ago too, with these influencers just taking a giant dump on the ecosystem. Because so if you look at our thumbnail, we've got old George from Cryptos R Us up there that, you know, it fully believes in the virtues of Uniswap and Algorand and stuff like that. But Richard Hart is a scammer. I'm sure he holds Solana too. But, you know, also Coin Bureau, who I thought he was kind of mixed on it. So Guy from Coin Bureau, who has a huge channel, he the other day, he actually called out Uniswap when the censoring of Hex on the front end actually happened. And then he went ahead and exploited old Silvertooth the other day on Twitter, resharing his whole broken down trailer story that he himself decided to put out there into the world. And then really got body bagged by Silvertooth, who came back and said, like, look, all of this was my own fault. I never said one thing about getting scammed. I never said anything about Richard Hart scamming me. I could have had mad profits. I never sold, you know, and he just recounted his own bad decisions. So kudos to him for, frankly, kudos to him for putting all of that personal info out there, because that's brave of someone to do. I mean, even his original post with the broken down trailer and everything. I mean, like, that takes balls to put that out there. And then you have Coin Bureau taking advantage of it, I think, frankly, and angling a story the way he wants it to be, which really made me lose respect for him, frankly. But and then, you know, then there's positive ones too. I mean, like, think of what you will with BitBoy. I'm not sure how much I really trust a lot of the things he says, but, you know, he has been friendly with Richard Hart. He stuck up for him on his channel. So long story short, we've got these gigantic, long-time, multiple-cycle crypto influencer channels starting to acknowledge it more. Altcoin Daily, think of what you will of those boys, but they've been talking about it more and not even necessarily all that negatively. They actually mentioned Hex is like one of their potential buys, allegedly, in September, which I thought was interesting. Bankless, of course, is having a giddy party over it together, I saw the other day. But either way, people are talking about it, which extremely bullish. And I haven't even mentioned these old school day traders, Bob Lucas, Big Cheds, if you guys are familiar with him on Twitter, Peter Brandt, a longtime storied day trader. For some reason, all these guys is just coalescing right now. They all three of them are just, and again, it's kind of incestual, I guess. They all kind of follow each other and talk about shit all the time. But they're all having an opinion on Hex right now. All of them's tweeted about Hex in the last week. And I think Richard before coined the phrase concern troll. Bob Lucas was a concern troll when it came to Hex this past week, saying, you know, I really do feel for the Hex investors. You know, you go through a lot of, you know, and talk like Uncle Bob and everything. But, and Peter Brandt, Peter Brandt earlier today, I saw Sami retreated in the retweeted or re-X'd or whatever. And then I went to Peter Brandt's account. He is already walking it back slightly and saying, hey, I've been wrong before, I guess we'll see or whatever. And it's just everybody has an opinion on it right now. So what do you make of this, whether positive or negative, what it could mean for this ecosystem counterbalancing this SEC thing? You know, oddly enough, like the lawsuit comes in and then everybody's talking about it. So what could that mean for the ecosystem and the price in this cycle?
Well, first thing, I think these guys understand the engagement they get from the Hexicans when they troll like that. A lot of them are paid subscribers. I know Johnny was doing it earlier. He was looking at, you know, what kind of influence do I need to get paid from this platform? You need like 15...
check mark.
Yeah, Johnny, he got the blue check mark. Congrats, Johnny, on the check mark. You have to realize a lot of these guys are engagement farming. They're just trying to get their numbers up there. They don't care who says what. And they, man, I don't know if they end up blocking people or not. You know, the one thing that I don't like to see are influencers that call people out just so that they can start blocking them when people respond. There are those folks, too. These guys, you know, again, I don't think anything is bad advertisement if they're talking about it. There may be those couple people that go out there, do some research and be like, hey, this Richard guy, you know, people don't like him, but he's pretty damn smart. I might have to listen to what he says. And then they start to watch some of his older videos and things like that. And that's kind of where you go down the rabbit hole of, holy shit, this is pretty cool. He's really looking out for people. These guys just don't get it. So there's always going to be those people that come from that kind of banter online. So I don't mind it at all. More eyes. That's all. That's what we need. We need more eyes. This system will not work if it's just us sitting around kumbaya, you know?
Yeah. And I think it also, you know, people are smart enough to deduce. I mean, think about it. The people following these guys on Twitter, I'm focusing on, these are day traders. This is like, they don't even have, I guess Bob Lucas probably does, but they don't even have like significant long investments, even in Bitcoin, let alone Ethereum. I mean, like, maybe a little bit, but it's, you know, not a huge part of their overall wealth or anything.
They're swing traders, right? They don't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm just wondering, like, some of their followers who are more interested in that is like, why are these guys talking about Hex? Like, what is Hex? What are they talking about? Because if they follow Cheds, they likely follow Bob Lucas. And if they follow him, they likely follow Peter Brandt. So it's just kind of like, why are you guys talking about this? And a certain percentage of that audience is going to start to look into this. And, you know, what it is for anybody that is bothered by it, I'm not saying anybody necessarily is, but when you see, I'm not saying that those are dumb men. I definitely don't think they are. I respect all of them for what it is they do and have found skill at. But the bottom line is, it may just not be for them. You know, they are at a point in their life where they have attained whatever level of wealth that they're happy with attaining. They don't need to look any further than that. And I frankly don't think any of them understand what happens in crypto cycles when you just hold. I just don't think they really understand that. And they don't need to take the risk.
So delayed, like, gratification isn't for everyone, you know, it's just not. So sorry, I cut you off there, but it's just not, it's not for everybody. And those guys are maybe perfect examples of, it's okay. It's not for you. Great.
Yeah.
So sorry. Continue.
And then as far as the YouTube guys, it's like, I heard somebody say the phrase the other day, like, this is when conversations start to change. And I think we are going to see that now. What you are going to see, and kudos, like I said, Peter Brandt earlier, who went back to Hex again today, just a few days after he talked about it, like I said, a few days ago, and admitted, you know, hey, I could be wrong or whatever in the long run. Most of these guys will not do that. We've talked about that before. Bob Lucas will not do that. George from Cryptos R Us definitely doesn't seem like he would do it. Coin Bureau will not do it. They are going to take a dump on this, make assumptions, twist stories to fit their narrative and things like that. Mm-hmm. And then if Hex does 100x from here, same with the Pulse Chain ecosystem and everything with that they don't even seem to be aware of, frankly, they just won't talk about it. It just won't ever be talked about again. And then whenever there's an opportunity to take a crap on it again, they'll do that, you know? And it's just, I think it's unfair to the viewers. Like, I'm not worried about whether it's unfair to us or the RH ecosystem. I think it just shows, what is your channel really worth? What are you really trying to do? Because I'll tell you right now, Coin Bureau, not that he cares what I have to say, and I commented on his thread the other day, has plenty of videos where he was shilling his referral link to FTX all last cycle, as many other people had as well. So it's like, if that's what you want your legacy to be and you're all right with that, okay. But I wouldn't be happy with it.
Well, and people need to know that. You know, that's the thing that we need to point out in a, you know, somewhat safe way, not safe, but, you know, we don't have to bash somebody to mention, hey, these guys also, this is how they get paid. They lead you to slaughter. You know, it's a pretty good defense for a lot of the people that talk crap about Hex, because every one of them have a referral link that has sent you to get slaughtered somewhere, whether it be trading, whether it just be FTX or Celsius or Luna or Three Arrows Capital, any of those things that went down, a lot of guys that have talked badly about Hex have gotten paid for all of those. So, you know, I just want to make people well aware of being careful who you're listening to. You know, there's nothing in it for us, right? I mean, we're not shilling reference links. You know, we're not doing anything like that. And many of the Hexakins aren't either. You know, they want people to learn the right way, true DeFi, the things that really matter, no admin keys, locked consensus code, things like that. So, yeah, again, it just makes you want to realize that you have to pay attention, see what people have done in their past. You'll know where they're probably going to lead you in the future.
That's the great thing, like you just said, about this ecosystem. And Matty Allen said it on their stream last night, is like there's all these organic streamers that just kind of pop up that just like to do it, like to talk about it, and have a passion for this ecosystem. You know, it's not all these people here trying to sell something or anything like that. It's just purely for the love of the ecosystem, love of the stuff that Richard's created and everything, and of true DeFi and true crypto. So,
And the community's awesome. I mean, I've met a lot of these guys, and they're all super genuine, smart dudes that I would have a, you know, love to have a beer with, or I did have beers with. So, you know, and it's not just, they're cool people. So the community is the biggest part of this whole thing. Once you realize how many down to earth, cool people there are.
Definitely. Yeah. If you guys are here and enjoying the stream, hit the like. We very much appreciate it. We're going to wrap up with this topic, which is, you know, in the news of the last week. Unfortunately, it's been lost a little bit because this has been one of the great pieces of news to come out. Shout out Crypto Coffee for making, as he always seems to do, whether it was the first or the best or whatever, instructional video on how to use the new Coast on-ramp to Pulse Chain. So we've been excited about this thing for quite some time. The easiest way to get into the ecosystem, it is now live as of last week. They already have the ability for you to get your money via ACH transfer from your bank account in there. At the moment, I believe it's still taking a couple of days to get over, but as they get their, you know, whatever it is, anti-fraud stuff.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, maybe that too, but I think it's also some other stuff on the back end. It'll be more like when you transfer into Coinbase and be somewhat instantaneous.
Right.
Gotcha. Which isn't always, but yeah, and then they didn't have the credit cards or debit card stuff sorted out yet, but that should be coming soon as well, which I'm excited about. I know we have both looked at it a little bit, Ewok. I think you probably have even a little bit more than myself. What are your opinion? What's your opinion and take on it so far? And then after that, you know, it's a little convoluted to understand it. I think I would point everybody to the Coffee video, because he really broke down how to lock up the weight token to get the fees down. Because the two things to differentiate. So when you make an ACH transfer right now, there's going to be like a flat $3 fee, I think it is, on like anything that you send in. So that's not going to change regardless. Right. But then there is going to be a percentage fee whenever you actually mint your stable coin, which is the CST token. That's the stable coin from Coast. So anyway, I'll let you take it away.
Yeah, no. So we had talked about this last week and we weren't sure. I know at one point, because you got the copy of your weight tokens on Pulse Chain. So, you know, they were distributed on Ethereum whenever Pulse Chain went live, and then you got the copy on Pulse Chain. If you lock up I forget, the first level is 1,000. You get like 1% off, down to 3. If you lock up 50,000, I think you get another percentage. And then if you lock up 100,000, which we looked not long ago, I think it was only 50 or 60 bucks to do that. But it is on the Pulse Chain. So you want to be connected to the Pulse Chain network in order to lock up the tokens. To save the percentage, it takes you from 4% down to 1%. And if you're going to use it a lot, it's going to pay for itself, especially at these prices. So, excuse me. I think it's definitely worthwhile. I have not sent anything over because it's giving me a hard time trying to enter my information. For some reason, it's grayed out. I can't get my, you know, obviously it is KYC. You do have to do that. But for me, it's graying it out. It's not allowing me to enter my information. So I'm still working on that. We'll get it squared away. Also, liquidity is going to take a little while because the Coast token is probably going to be a direct pair with a lot of things. So that's going to take a while to build up. And I know they were asking people that had the ability to provide some liquidity, whether it be even if you want to play it safe, be a from Coast to DAI would be a good provider of liquidity. You could switch for that and pretty much just make fees, right? I mean, you're gonna, it's a dollar for a dollar. You know, you end up making fees for people that are trading into that. Eventually, there will be Hex CST pairs and Pulse CST pairs, things like that. Right. So that takes a little bit of time for people to get into the system and get some money injected into it. But yeah, pretty exciting. The first stable coin on Pulse Chain natively, very exciting. So good things to come. Those guys have done great work. But again, you know, take a look into at least getting some of those wake tokens if you weren't lucky enough to mint them before. You know, like I said, 60 bucks could save you down the road if you're going to use it a lot. It would pay for itself in the fees that you're going to save from 4% down to 1%. So keep that in mind. And as soon as I'm able to get a transaction to go through, I can wire money, but I just didn't do it yet. I'm trying to get the ACH thing to work. I know the
wire is going to cost you a lot more too, probably from the bank side of things. Yeah.
Right. Right. But it's pretty much instantaneous. So you don't really have to wait for that. It would show up pretty quickly. And you know, if you're only going to piss around and send 50 or 100 bucks, it's not worth the fee. But if you're going to spend a more substantial amount, you might want to look into the wire thing. I think it's 15 or 20 bucks to wire
something. Yeah, I think that comes from the bank, though. That,
it does. That fee, it is right? The wire fee.
Probably varies, but yeah, it's not terrible. But I love this. I definitely am going to be a huge fan of the credit card feature. You know, just, hey, max out a whole bunch of them, leverage it out, put it all into whatever I want to. So that'll be fun. But I do love the ease of this on-ramp. I think it's awesome. Probably... I mean, we were excited about this almost more than anything else that was being built around Pulse Chain, I think. So,
because we didn't have it. We don't have a stable coin. You know, we didn't until now. This is the first one. I know Liquid Loans will be coming out with one. They haven't launched yet. But in order for people to get out of a position, we don't want them leaving the network, right? You know, you want people to, if they're going to have money on the side, hopefully they keep it within the network, at least, so that, you know, that can be injected back in at some point down the road. So it is nice to have that first one. And, you know, it always takes a first to get a second. So
You
know, there'll be more to come.
You always remember your first, right?
You always remember your first.
Yeah. So, I think that pretty much is all the points we wanted to talk about. This was a great show. There is just, you know, I know since last week and the announcement of the SEC news and everything, there's been a lot of probably rough mental states for people and things like that. And, you know, a lot of FUD going around from the people that don't support the community and stuff like that. But, we saw, I mean, just how organically awesome the whole community was, you know, in the days following that. And people, you know, we had Maddie's whole, you know, well, what, 72 hour, how many days was it? Another 48 hour straight live stream with everybody on it.
Yep, 48 hour.
Yeah, it was fantastic. So, yeah, it just, it has been awesome to kind of watch everybody rise up and everything, and the movie coming out now. I mean, it just, and, you know, one other point I guess we could say, it's funny, like, even though we did talk about all these influencers talking about it this past week and everything, the crypto news cycle moves at a just breaking speed. So, I mean, this is not going to be on the tips of everybody's tongue, the actual lawsuit part of it, for that much longer. You know what I mean? Until there's, like, more developments or whatever. And, you know, as the market heats up and everything, there's going to be more and more to talk about. But these things move so fast that it's going to be an afterthought. So after the Bankless boys dunk on us one time before they promote, you know, WorldCoin or whatever it may be, they're going to go silent for a bit. So that's something to keep in mind as well. I mean, it is nice long term that we'll have more people talking about it, but it won't be the focus every single day for everybody right now.
No. Nope, they'll get it out of their system usually a week or so, and things kind of, the whole news cycle changes. You know, people don't,
right?
People don't dwell on things unless it's really detrimental. I think FTX, things like that, took a while, and, you know, because there were constantly developments every day or every other day. You know, you had guys like BitBoy that were out there doing stuff in the Bahamas, and, you know, so things like that.
Yeah,
I mean, you know, obviously that's going to get more eyes on it, because that was a pretty large thing. You know, you had $40 billion that just kind of disappeared and vanished. So, yes, little things like this, hang in there, because it will be out of the news cycle within a week. We've already passed a week since it kind of came out. I think with the movie, more people are talking about it a little bit. So, you know, it'll be delayed. But, you know, within 2 weeks, I don't see much happening with that until we get more news. When's the case start? Things like that. So it's all
good. Hey, maybe we'll get a BitBoy trip to Finland or something like that.
Maybe.
That'd be interesting. Yeah, that'd be a fun episode.
Yeah.
Yeah, see the boys hang out again. Yeah, well, hey, I just want to say thanks to everybody in the chat the last few weeks. We've got a lot more traffic on the channel. I thank you to everybody who had retweeted or shared the show. We very much appreciate it. We've been doing it now for, man, believe it or not, almost 2 years, not in stream form the entire time. But ever since we, you know, kind of became more consistent, I don't know, a year ago or something like that, it's really gotten a lot better. So we thank everybody for stopping in here tonight. Hit the like on your way out. Subscribe to the channel. We appreciate it. We do this every single Wednesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So for my friend Crypto Ewok, this has been Broke Boy Crypto, and we'll catch you guys next week right here on the Creed of Crypto podcast.